This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
God the Father declares that all the angels worship Jesus. He's worthy. He's so worthy. He's worthy of worship. And then we see that verse 7, God's messengers are swift as the wind. Some translations will say angels there. Speaking of the angelic creations that God has made, that they're swift as the wind. But what does it say about the servants of God? Any servants in the house? Hello. Servants in the house? The servants of God are made like what? Flaming fire. The angels may have, you know, supersonic abilities to move and to get around, but God has given His messengers this position, this place, this opportunity, this gift of fire. Pentecost. What happens at Pentecost? The wind starts to blow. Hear the wind the last few days? The wind starts to blow. They're in the upper room. The wind begins to blow. And as the wind is blowing, the Scripture will say in John that those who are moved by the Holy Spirit are like the wind. You hear it, but you don't see it. But you can see what it's doing. And so the wind moves the people of God. So you have the wind. And if you see wind driving a fire as a young man living in the Everglades and seeing the massive fire that was in our area, and the wind would blow and the flames would leap up in the air 15, 20 or more feet and ignite a pine tree, and it would burst into flames like it was had been sprayed with gasoline. Maybe you have seen trees ignite like that. I believe that this passage of Scripture is saying that God created the angels to be worshipers who are on assignment. God is the one who gives the assignment, not us. You don't need to worry about, well, I need to command the angels to bind up and drive out. No, you don't need to bind anything with angels. God knows what you need. God directs His own angels. Hello. Do any of you remember when Joshua is moving into Jericho? He was probably having one of those morning walks and crying out to God. And he came upon this warrior. Must have been startling. Come to find out, this is a warrior from God's command. He's on assignment. I like that too. That means anytime you're on guard duty, you're not alone. Say, well, I got to have my guard dog. No, I just need to be where God wants me. God will take care of sending His ministering spirits. And Joshua just wants to know, what team are you on? Look it up. Are you for me or are you for them? Whose side are you on? He said, I'm not on either one of your sides. I'm on God's side. What was he saying? He was saying, I'm not listening to what you have to say or what they have to say. I am here as a representative of the armies of God, and I'm on God's assignment. Now, if you're on God's assignment, and I'm on God's assignment, then the job's going to be done. If you are on God's assignment, God will show up to accomplish the task, just like he did for Joshua. And the walls came down. So, the sun is exalted. God calls his angels messengers, swift as the wind, and servants made a flaming fire. We're to be on fire. But to his son, he says, look at this, to his son. He says, your throne. Let's think about the throne for a minute. So, God has presented Jesus as honored, worthy of worship. God declares his worthiness because everything created ends up worshiping and giving honor to him. And then we see that his throne, Jesus is at the throne, on the throne. Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever, and your royal power is expressed in righteousness. Jesus is right there at the throne room, of course. And look at this, verse 9. The love. Say, what does Jesus love? Well, he loves what's right. He loves what's right. And what does he hate? He hates iniquity. He hates what is wrong. Say, well, I want to be like Jesus. Well, love what is right and hate what is wrong. Say, well, what if I don't get it all right? Well, do you know anything that's right? Do you know one thing that's right? Do you know two things that's right? That's what you're to be in love with. You know anything that's wrong? That's what you're to hate. This is Jesus. I like the after bumper sticker. The first one said, what would Jesus do? But the next one said, now that you know, go do what Jesus did. How long do we have to ask the question? We have a book full of showing us what he did. Now go do what he did. Honey, was it yesterday we saw the bumper sticker that said, on the back of a truck that said, do you follow this close to Jesus? I thought that was pretty good. I thought that's a good question, you know. There was the potential of maybe having a crash, you know. If you're going to crash into something, make sure you're following close enough to Jesus that's who you're going to be crashing into his presence. You love what is right. You hate what is wrong. This is Jesus. You say, well, I already know that. Well, great. Deepen your knowledge here in the book of Hebrews. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about Melody? No, he's talking about Jesus. God has poured out on him. He's put him in this high position. He's anointed him. And he has poured out the oil of joy on him more. Jesus was joyful believe it's in Hebrews where it talks about the joy that was set before Him. Jesus was motivated by joy. I was sitting on a patio in Tennessee, the timeshare, I was up very high and looking out over the morning as the sun was coming up, and I was reading that passage about Jesus enduring for the joy that was set before Him. And as I was reading, as I often do, I was just talking to the Father, and I said, "Father, what was that joy?" And this wonderful warm presence of the Holy Ghost just came upon me. And the Father spoke to me and said, "You are part of that joy." Jesus endured the cross because the cross could not be compared to His joy in seeing the results, which would not only be that you and I come into fellowship with God forgiven, but also that we become the anointed ones to represent Him who now walks in that same joy. Talks about that your joy might be full. Full joy. You say, "But my life is filled with challenges." So was Jesus. It says He was a man acquainted with sorrow and with grief, but yet He was anointed with the oil of joy. Can you see and understand that this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives? That whatever you're facing, God is still God. And God is going to bring you through. And you're going to look back on it and say, "I still had joy in my life regardless of what I was facing." But no one's been anointed as much as Jesus. Jesus faced the cross. But so many times we talk about the cross, but I want you to understand, I believe with all of my heart, that it was not just being hung on a cross, but it was the sins that He carried that made the cross so painful. You love what is right, you hate what is wrong. Isn't this opposites? You look at Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, our Savior, our Lord, loves what's right, hates what is wrong. Satan hates what is right. Mary Ellen was talking about that. Shifting, changing, repositioning the attack. Satan hates what is right. He hates what is good. He loves what is evil. The Word says that people hate the light. Why do they hate the light? They hate the light because their deeds are evil, and the light would manifest and would expose their evil deeds. So they hate the light. That hatred is birthed by their father, the devil. Therefore, God's anointed you, pouring out the oil of the joy on you more than on anyone else. And, Lord, in the beginning, we're still talking about Jesus. He is the exalted one, so much greater. Lord, in the beginning, You laid the foundations of the earth. Jesus did. And the heavens, the galaxies, the stars are the work of Your hands. Jesus is the one who's speaking and creating and the Spirit's moving and accomplishing. But Jesus is the one that is speaking. In the beginning, You did this, Lord. But even they will perish what You've created, the heavens, the earth, but You remain forever. So we see the deity is everlasting. We see that Jesus is God, the same as the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is eternal. You say, well, when did He begin? We only have words like beginning because we have a beginning. But what we cannot comprehend is, with God there was no beginning. God was. Jesus was. Talking with Barry Grant this past week, Wednesday, on our Wednesday Live at the station. Barry Grant, having come into relationship with Jesus, three generations of Jehovah Witnesses. And as he talked about it, he said there's so much manipulation and so much condemnation. I said, Barry, you know, I hear Christians, myself included, I've said, oh, I admire their commitment. I admire, you know, you look at the Mormons, they're out on bicycles, they're knocking on doors. And I said, Barry, I've admired that. He said, listen, they're trying as hard as they can to work their way into heaven, but they can never be good enough. And he said, they can never be sure that they're good enough. And he said, as a Jehovah Witness, you're mentally and emotionally burdened. It puts pressure on the marriages. It puts pressure on your mind because you never really know if you're working hard enough to honor God. Do you not see the difference? We are not driven by God. We are led by God. God does not drive us with a whip and say, you must put in your 5 hours a week and just in study and in going to meetings. You must put in your 100, 150 hours every month. You must carry with you your logbook and write it down and turn in a report so the elders can check up on you. That's worse than dragging your animal in. At least you could cut its throat and leave it and eat it. The bondage of the cults is that they refuse to acknowledge the deity of Jesus Christ. They refuse to admit that Jesus was, is, and always will be God. That Jesus came as God. He did not become, like the Mormons say, a God. He always was God. And always will be. In the beginning, Jesus laid the foundation. They'll roll up like an old coat. They will fade away like old clothing. But you are always what? Same. Always the same. God so loved. Always the same. God is love, always the same. If you believe in your heart and you proclaim with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, always the same. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you, always the same. The same. Yesterday, today, and forever, He is the same. They will roll up like an old coat. They will fade away like old clothing. But you're always the same. Oh, and you will never grow old. Jesus does not age. He's God. I had a vision of my mom in heaven. I had never seen my mom look like that. But I knew it was my mom. She was so beautiful. I don't know. I would have thought maybe she was 25 or 30. I don't know. I don't remember ever seeing Mom look like this. But Mom was so alive, and her face was so bright and so brilliant, and just reflected such life and enthusiasm. And my mom in the vision, she looks at me and says, "Jonathan, is this you?" That's what my mom would say as a kid. And I'm like, "Well, who do you think it is? I mean, how many Jonathans do you have? Come on, give me a break, Mom." Now, none of you moms ever say silly things like that. But that was my mom. That's the way she would address me if she was shocked to see me. "Jonathan, is this you?" If I did something that she didn't want me to do or didn't expect me to do. "Jonathan, is this you?" I said, "Well, of course it's me, Mom." She said, "What are you doing here now? It's not your time to be here now." I thought, "Well, where am I?" In my vision, I was on a journey to see my sister, I thought. Well, my sister also had died. And I didn't talk to my sister, but Mom said, "Oh, she's here." But she said, "This is, you're not supposed to be here now." And about the time she said that, and I wanted to talk to my mom, these two really tall dudes took me by both arms and gently but firmly led me away from my mother into this most amazing place. There were full-grown trees growing in what I thought was inside this majestic. I'd never seen a foyer of a motel or anything so grand as this. And I'm in this place. There's waterfall. I see a waterfall. There's these beautiful, huge palm trees. And it's indoors. There's orchids. I'm looking at all this stuff. And they said, "It's your time to go." I didn't want to go. I wanted to hang out and have lunch there. I wasn't invited for lunch there. And I woke up and I'm like, "Whoa, I would like to stay there a while." And you go, "Oh, well, why don't you write that down? And why don't you..." Because none of that can compare with who Jesus is. That was wonderful. I know heaven's a beautiful place. I'm looking forward to going there. But God wants us to be focused on who His Son is, to recognize His greatness. It's not my story. It's not your story. It's the one the story is about that really matters. Amen? When you share your testimony, make sure you don't give more time to the devil days than to the King. I've heard some people talk so long about the devil days that I wondered if they ever met Jesus. Make sure you focus on the Lord and you say, "Yes, I was, but now." And spend most of your time talking about the now. Well, God never said to an angel, as He did to His Son, "Sit in honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." But angels are only, say that. Angels are only. They're servants. They are spirits sent from God, and they're on assignment. David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me," right? What was he talking about? He's talking about that God's goodness is following him. I love that song, "The Blessing." That's to generation and generation and generation and generation. The blessing of God. Angels are only servants. They are spirits sent from God to care for those who are being saved, receiving salvation. Why is it that one third of the angels get so much airtime? Look in the news. Why is it that that spirit of fear pounces on us as if we're outnumbered? There's more with us than be with them. And besides that, the enemy has always been a loser. He never won. Jesus didn't die to conquer him. He was always conquered. He died to conquer him for us so that here we could be victorious. Amen. In these last days, I want you to go with me to 1 Timothy just for a second. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy addresses what's coming. Addresses that verse 6, some teachers have missed this whole point. There's some false teaching that will come into the church. They've turned away from these things, spend their time arguing, talking foolishness. They want to be known as teachers of the law, so we understand the last days, these are some of the things that come. Therefore, people who are disobedient, rebellious, who are ungodly, sinful, who consider nothing sacred, defile what is holy. Yeah, the last days, all these are things that's coming. Who murder their father, their mother, or other people. Verse 9. These laws are for people who are sexually immoral, for homosexuals, slave traders, liars, oath breakers, those who do anything that contradicts right teaching that comes from the glorious good news. Yeah, all of these things are going on in the end days. We have serious conditions. We looked at those in the book of Romans. Chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. The Holy Spirit tells us, look at verse 1. The Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, last days, some will turn away from the faith. They'll follow lying spirits, teachings that come from demons. They come from where? Demon. Oh, Pastor, they're just a little off. Now, I'm not saying any one of us have 100% total understanding, but this scripture's telling us in the last days there are people that are on mission by the devil and they are inspired by lying spirits that are in them. These teachers are hypocrites and liars. They pretend to be religious, but their consciences are dead.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."